Hi, everybody. It is Audio 7. It's Dr. Sarah Gottfried. The question today is, are you an overachiever? Yes, we are talking about overachievers, the pushers, the musters. I happen to be a recovering overachiever myself, and I have a lot of them in my virtual practice and the community that I serve. So if you are an overachiever, I want to speak to you directly in this audio. Maybe you're an overachiever in life, and maybe you also, as a result, tend to have more hormone imbalances. So let's get into that topic together.
So just as many of us are overachievers in other areas of our life, we tend to be overachievers when it comes to our hormones, meaning one imbalance is not enough for us. We have to have two or three or sometimes more that are out of whack, but what do we do then? How do we know which imbalance to treat first?
Juicy question. You know, the root cause of your hormone issues, especially if you have more than one, tends to begin way before your symptoms start. So when you adjust the levers that got you out of hormone balance, you're more likely to experience the sustained benefit and restored balance than if you just chase after one. So we got to go for the root cause. Same thing applies whether you have one hormone imbalance or multiple hormone imbalances. What do you do first? You actually want to target the root cause first and start with that problem first and foremost. Let me give you an example. This week I saw a client of mine named Jane. She's a 33-year-old woman with low progesterone and high cortisol. I started seeing her a few months ago, and at that time, when she first came in, she had a period that was happening every 23 days, and she had bad PMS for about 5 days before her period would come. Now, I had a hunch because she had a lot of symptoms of high cortisol, but only a few symptoms of low progesterone. I had a hunch that her main problem was cortisol. So we worked on getting her cortisol down to the Goldilocks position with a few things. Number one, we did GPS for the soul. GPS for the soul. So you may have heard me talk about this before. It's a free app that you can get on iTunes, and it helps you with your stress response. It helps you train to lower your cortisol. In fact, these guys, the guys who make the GPS for the soul called HeartMath, they found that you can reduce cortisol by 23%. By following some of their programs. We also cut out the white stuff, the sugar, the gluten. You may have heard that before from Oprah, and I actually think there's quite a bit of science behind it. We know that when you cut out sugar, it reduces cortisol. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're going after the root cause. The final thing that we did with her is we started her on some rhodiola. When we did that, when we used GPS for the soul, and we also started the rhodiola, got the white stuff out, we were able to find that this got her cortisol down. It got her cortisol lower. When we did this, it helped her period get better. It started to come not every 23 days, but every 25, 26, 27 days. And her PMS was about 60% better. So we got her cortisol into the normal range, into that Goldilocks position of not too high, not too low, but she didn't completely get rid of her PMS. So after 6 weeks, we decided to add chasteberry. And if you've heard me go through the progesterone audio, you know that chasteberry is one of the most proven supplements you can take to help yourself with PMS. So she started on chasteberry, and oh my gosh, that completely helped her get rid of the PMS. Now her period comes and there's no drama. There's no fights with the husband or with the kids. And she doesn't have the crazy sugar cravings anymore because her cortisol is better. And you probably heard me tell you before that when cortisol's high, it can also link together with several other hormone imbalances. It can drag down your thyroid like it did for me in my 30s. It can drag down your progesterone because it blocks the progesterone receptor. It can also drag down your androgens, such as testosterone, and make you lose your sex drive. So in this case, with Jane, we went after the root cause. So we went after cortisol. And once we got cortisol normalized, because I thought that was probably the primary problem, we saw what was left. And at that point, she only needed a month of Chaseberry to really help her normalize again and resolve the PMS. So the main point here, when you have two hormone imbalances at once, is that you want to figure out which one's more severe, which one came first. And when you address it in that way, you accelerate your hormone cure.
So what are some guidelines to follow when we're trying to solve multiple hormone imbalances?
Guidelines. So a couple of things. I mean, first and foremost, especially if you start with the lifestyle tweaks in the Gottfried protocol that I've mentioned, you know, maybe you do GPS for the soul the way that Jane did, you want to be working with a trusted clinician. Now, that could be a physician, it could be a chiropractor, it could be anyone who's working and has been trained in the hormone cure. It could also be the clinician that you've used for quite a while, as long as they're open-minded. But when you have more than one hormone system that's off, I really strongly suggest that you find a collaborative clinician, ideally a doctor or nurse practitioner, a PA, physician's assistant, who has the time, knowledge, and interest to take on your hormone issues with you. And if you feel like you haven't found the right match, what you can do is you can check out the appendix of my book. I've got a lot of ideas and resources there. And you can also check out further suggestions at thehormonecurebook.com. I've got a list of practitioners there. So that's number one, work with a trusted clinician. Number two is to consider testing. So when you have multiple hormone imbalances, it's worthwhile to check your blood or saliva or urine and review it with your trusted clinician so that you can understand the overlap between the symptoms that you might have. So hormones are perpetually interacting with each other, and often measurement can be very helpful. You've heard me say it before, what you measure improves. And so that's especially true when it comes to multiple overachieving hormone imbalances that you have at once. Number three is that you want to identify the primary problem. So what happened first? In Jane's example, I really felt like what happened first was the problem with cortisol. And that's why we address the cortisol first. And if you're unsure about what came first and you have a problem with your cortisol, I would start with cortisol. All roads lead back to cortisol, and that's especially true when you've got multiple hormone imbalances. You can't go wrong with addressing cortisol. And the cool part is that it's this completely tangible hormone that you can manage like you manage your day or your 401k. Fourth, I want you to identify what are called the ATMs. This is a term that we use in functional medicine, but I think all of us need to think about it this way. So what does ATM stand for? It's your antecedents, your triggers, and your mediators. So let me explain what I mean. Your antecedents are basically the predisposing factors. So for instance, when I was the stress case in my 30s, one of the reasons why my cortisol was so high, was three times the ideal range, was because I had hypervigilance. So my hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, and if you can't remember what that is, you can go back to the stress audio where we talk about cortisol. My HPA was overactive. It was almost as if I had trigger finger, right? And I just would get really stressed very easily. So that was a predisposing factor to some of the problems that I had with high cortisol combined with low thyroid. There's another common combination. So I had one woman in my practice who said something to me that I thought was really compelling. She said, you know, I was medically boring until age 28 when my mother was dying of cancer. I took care of her for 6 months until she died. Within a short amount of time, my periods stopped and I developed fibromyalgia. Now, if you recall from the cortisol audio, fibromyalgia is linked to low cortisol. And it's very common when people go through an intense period of grief that they have low cortisol. That can happen when a loved one dies. And when you have low cortisol, you're at a greater setup for fibromyalgia. And so then you would want to address that particular problem, the low cortisol. And I describe that in my book. Now, some of these other things, the triggers, the mediators, those are pretty self-explanatory. You want to figure out, okay, since I got married to my husband, I've gained 15 pounds. So that would be a trigger. Or since I started this new job and I'm only exercising on the weekends, I feel way more stressed and I want to eat chocolate every day. So that would be a mediator, right? So ATM, you want to check out your ATMs. And then last but not least is that I want you to beware of the most common masqueraders. So this is tip number 5 when it comes to guidelines to follow when you're trying to solve multiple hormone imbalances. So the most common masqueraders include those endocrine disruptors that you've heard me talk about before. And it turns out that these endocrine disruptors, even though they're well known to affect your estrogen and also your thyroid, they can affect multiple different systems in your body. So as I describe in my book, bisphenol A, also known as BPA, acts as a xenoestrogen, but it also disrupts the thyroid. And unfortunately, levels of bisphenol A are detectable in 93% of U.S. adults. So we've got to be aware of how these chemicals in the environment affect your hormones, and we've got to reduce the amount of exposure that you have. You may have heard me talk before about how we know that consumption of probiotics reduces your absorption of bisphenol A. So that's a good example of a supplement you can take that reduces your exposure to an endocrine disruptor that affects two different hormone systems.
What are some of the most common combinations you see in your practice, and what can we do about them?
Yeah, you've heard me tell the story of a number of different women in my practice who have multiple hormone imbalances. You've heard me tell my own story about high cortisol and how that affected my thyroid, but my main problem was the high cortisol. You also heard me talk about how low cortisol can affect your thyroid. So both extremes don't help your thyroid. We also know that when your cortisol is off, either high or low, that can affect your estrogen and progesterone too. And another common one is low progesterone together with low thyroid. So those are some of the most common imbalances. And the situation here, what can you do about them? It just goes back to the same point that I made before, which is you want to address the primary issue. So if symptoms of high cortisol, for instance, are what came up first, that's where you want to begin. And then you see what sort of symptoms are left over when you address that.
Does age play a factor in single versus multiple hormonal imbalances?
Definitely. So one of the things that I joke about, this is a quote that was inspired by Eric Braverman. I joke that starting around age 28, you will fall down a hormonal flight of stairs unless you're proactive about your hormone balance. And the hormones that are affected vary from decade to decade. So starting in your 20s, the hormones that are most affected are testosterone and DHEA. They will start to go down and they'll decrease at a more accelerated rate the more burned out you are. So if you are a stress case in your 20s, that can really impact how much your DHEA and testosterone go down. On average, in your 20s, they start to go down by about 1% per year, but it may actually be 2% per year if you're not managing your stress and cortisol properly. In your 30s, what starts to change is growth hormone, cortisol becomes more of a factor, and then starting around 35, your progesterone can drop, and that leads to estrogen dominance. And then in your 40s, you've heard me talk about the perfect storm of your Charlie's Angels in your 40s, and how cortisol, that tango between estrogen and progesterone, and also your thyroid, can all act up at once when you're in your 40s. And then in your 50s, the main issue is that once you get close to your final menstrual period, you start to drop your estrogen levels. And some women do just fine with that. Other women have intense hot flashes or night sweats, especially if their adrenals are taxed. So those are some of the common problems that we see. And I definitely see more likely just one hormone issue for women in their 20s and 30s. Less so if they're mastering their sleep and they're eating well and they're taking the supplements that they need to fill in their nutritional gaps. But as you get older, you're more likely to have multiple hormone imbalances. Your hormones then quiet down again after the age of 50 or 55. That's kind of the cool part. There's a lot less drama. But you still might have issues with your cortisol and with making sure that you've got a good balance between estrogen and progesterone. And as you age, there's also a greater risk of thyroid problems because your thyroid's not like a fine Cabernet. It doesn't get better with age. You want to actually take care of all these endocrine glands, but your thyroid especially is more likely to have issues and create symptoms for you as you get older, as we described in the last audio.
Okay, you mentioned cortisol again. It's everywhere. So I've heard about insulin resistance, but what is cortisol resistance and what can I do about it?
Well, definitely the most common hormone problem I see in my practice, and this is for about 91% of the people who come to see me, I definitely see problems with cortisol being either too high or too low or even both within the same day, as we discussed in a previous audio. So we know that cortisol is really important. And you've probably heard about insulin resistance. You've probably heard about how your cells can become numb to insulin. And as a result, your insulin starts to rise. You start to store fat no matter how hard you're trying. This is very common too with people who have high testosterone. So just as you can have insulin resistance where your cells become numb to insulin, you can have cortisol resistance where your body has been dealing with the alarm button for so long that it just stops responding. And this is a bit like the boy who cried wolf, where your body is so used to being bathed in a broth of high stress, chronic stress, that it just can't up the ante anymore. And this has just been described in the last couple of years by a couple of different groups. So we're learning more about this, but hormone resistance, I think, is what we're going to be learning more about in the next 10 years. So pay attention to cortisol resistance. The more technical term for it is actually glucocorticoid resistance, because there's more than one hormone that's in the cortisol family, and that family is called the glucocorticoids. Now, one of the issues when you have cortisol resistance, what we know from the studies is that this can lead to a number of problems. It can definitely affect your immune system, because you've heard me say before that cortisol is involved in your blood pressure, in your blood sugar. That's how it dances with insulin. And it's also involved in your immune system. So people who have cortisol resistance have problems with their immunity. They also have issues with serotonin. They don't make as many of the happy brain chemicals. And remember, serotonin is in charge of your mood, your sleep, and your appetite. So it can cause you to age prematurely, and there's even some research looking at a problem that faces about 40 to 45% of Caucasians, and that is the short serotonin transporter gene, the short serotonin transporter gene. So women and men who have the short serotonin transporter gene are much more likely to have cortisol resistance. They can't shuttle serotonin around in the brain very well. And all these happy brain chemicals that I'm talking about, serotonin is one of the most important. It is a gatekeeper. It's more important than almost any other neurotransmitter that you have in your brain. And there's a lot of them, right? But serotonin is especially important. And those who have the short serotonin transporter gene, normal is to have two copies of the long serotonin transporter gene, those folks with one or two copies of the short gene are more likely to have cortisol resistance. So that's something you might be hearing about more in the future. Now, what I think is important here is to realize that you can prevent hormone resistance. I think one of the best ways of preventing hormone resistance, and here I'm talking about insulin resistance, which you can actually turn around in 48 hours by following the food plan I have in the appendix of the book, The Hormone Cure, and cortisol resistance. The way that you turn this around is by really managing your hormones proactively and not waiting until you have the scary diagnosis of, you know, maybe an autoimmune condition or cancer or something else that's very serious. I don't want you to wait for that wake-up call. I want you to act a lot sooner. And I think that's especially important when it comes to dealing with multiple hormone imbalances, because you're basically on that path toward a bad neighborhood, and I want you to turn it around. Okay, everybody, so that is our audio on being an overachiever and multiple hormone imbalances. Thanks so much for your attention. I'll see you in the next audio.